Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome, welcome. We've got a really exciting, inspiring show for you today. I am so glad to have as my guest Lauren Fortenberry. Now, she's a writer, a speaker, and an influencer whose greatest passion is fearlessly and faithfully encouraging women through the love of Jesus Christ. Now, that is very consistent with what we do here on this show. We don't want you to be fearful of all of those things that are coming our parenting way. We want you to be faithful. Now, Lauren is a writing instructor at the University of Mississippi, and her writing has been featured by NBC's Today Show, Good Morning America, and a variety of other media outlets and blogs. And she currently lives in Oxford, Mississippi, with her husband and two kids. Her new book is called One Prayer Away, Healing Words to Speak Over Your Day, and I am so excited that I have an advanced copy. This is not even for sale until next week. It will be released, but let me tell you, this is a beautiful, beautiful book, and it would make a great Mother's Day gift. It would be something really nice to give your mom, and when you open it up, it's a hardcover book. There's a beautiful little place for an inscription. You can write a dedication in it, and there's just gorgeous pictures all the way through, and I'll tell you, Lauren, it honestly, as I was looking at the pictures and reading through, it was bringing my blood pressure down just as I was reading it, so we're just thrilled that you're here to talk to us about it.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to share the message and encouragement in my book, One Prayer Away, and just to encourage women that they are loved and that they are beautiful in God's eyes.
That is a message that we need to hear, honestly, Lauren, and we're going to dive into all the things, but I think that especially in today's world where we just, you know, we don't always get affirmation that we need. And especially as moms, I think a lot of times, you know, I don't know about you, Lauren, but my kids are not at home saying, oh, wow, mom, you're doing such a great job disciplining me. You know, you're not traumatizing me for life and you're making me stronger and making me feel better about myself. You know, no, as moms, we're all thinking, oh, my goodness, are we messing up our kids for life? Like, are we traumatizing them? And then we think about all those comparisons that go through social media, all of those kinds of things. But I would love for you just to start by just giving us a little introduction. Just tell us a little bit about you and your life and your family and how you got to the point where you felt inspired and called by God to write this book.
Okay. So I began writing a blog, I guess officially my writing career, on the night of my 30th birthday. So this was a couple of months after my second and last child, Aspen, was born. I really felt God calling me to write, not necessarily to write a book, but so I was faithful in that, and I started my first blog on September 11th, 2015. And I wrote online. I shared some things on social media. At the time, blogging was more of where writers invested their time than social media, and so I began there. And in 2018, I had the most difficult year in my life. So my father was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer early that year, and the grief really heavily burdened my soul. So I'm a daughter of cancer. I can actually remember my 8th birthday standing at the base of my mother's ICU bed. So they had found cancer in her, and I was 8. My mom was 33 at the time, and you know, for years as a child, I worried when I turned 33, like my mom, I was going to get cancer. And it was something that I returned to year after year, birthday after birthday. And my mom was able to overcome cancer. She was, you know, cancer-free 5 years after, and she's healthy and still with us. But the year I turned 33, 2018, My father actually was the one who was diagnosed with cancer. So in this really strange way, strange, beautiful, and difficult way, God was preparing me for another cancer journey at 33, walking with my father through that. Grief that I really kind of bared was difficult. It was difficult on my faith, my family, my home. At many points, I felt all alone in this anger and sadness, you know, again, walking through cancer with a parent. At that time, I went to Google. I searched online for any book that I felt like could really speak to what I was feeling, this internal chaos, but I found nothing. So a few months earlier, I had purchased a once-a-day Bible kind of spontaneously at the at a bookstore, and I decided, you know, I can't find a book out there, so I'm going to go into God's Word. And I did a reading where I knew I could be alone, where it would be quiet, where it would just be God and I. And that was the master bedroom closet. And so this practice became this habit, became my favorite part of the day. So in this season of grief and of hurt and unanswered questions, and again, kind of all the emotions all at once, I would go into my closet, read God's word, often through tears, and then I would open the door and face the day. And again, there was much instability in that season of my life, emotionally and in my home. And so the place where I found peace was with God in that closet. And One Prayer Away really is the book that God started writing on my heart in that season. And it's the book that I needed. So One Prayer Away is the book that I needed 6 years ago, but also that God knew some woman would need today. And that thought alone gives me chills. But that's the heart and kind of how One Prayer Away came into being. The next 3 months of my life in that season, in winter and spring of 2018, God completely transformed my life. Actually, in 3 months, the same amount of time that my devotion covers over the course of 90 days. That journey is what I capture in the book.
Well, you know, I find from interviewing so many authors, Lauren, and being a relatively new author myself, is that God writes books on our hearts long before he writes them on the pages. It's not like all of a sudden it goes from your brain to a paper. I really find that so many authors, just like you, just like me, these books, these words, these journeys are written on our hearts. And then our heart is to share that journey with others so that our pain has a purpose. And it's given me, honestly, a new perspective when I read books, because when I'm reading, I'm thinking, okay, what's the story? What happened here? Because that gives it such a level of authenticity. I mean, it would be great for you to write this beautiful book, Lauren, and have these beautiful illustrations, beautiful photos, just encouraging words, and just say, yes, here are words to bless you. But knowing that it came from such a difficult season, and that you can still stand and say that God is still good, and that that is what sustained you during that time, rather than being angry or bitter or, you know, even continuing to be sad. Of course, sometimes we are still sad in grief, but we find hope in that. I find that really encouraging and inspiring. And you share in your story in the book that during this season with your dad being sick, you were working a full-time job, you had two small children. What have you learned as a mother, knowing that your kids are watching how you respond to this trial and this challenge? What have you learned as a mother, and how have you changed through this journey of, you know, God calling you through hard things and then to write about it?
It's something to really reflect on in terms of, I think God draws us in. God draws us close in our valley moments. You know, when we're on the mountaintop, we certainly can praise God, but our outside world is smooth. There aren't storms. There aren't monsters that we're facing. There aren't enemy attacks. But I think that when we're in the valley, God draws us close and he says, you are mine, you are loved, and I am not done with you yet. And I think one of the greatest encouragements that I have taken away from that season in my life and in the years of healing since has been our moments of hardship as parents are also opportunities to model to our children, to have open and honest conversations with them, not just about how we believe that God is working, but how we are changing on the inside, you know, ways that may not be perceivable on the outside, certainly to children, but to share with them in real and tangible ways how God is at work in us and also God is at work in their lives. And when we face seasons where it is so dark and it feels impossible for God's light to penetrate through, I think by having honest conversations with our children and by showing them we are flawed, but we are forgiven and that God's grace covers us all, I think it uniquely equips our children with those tools for navigating their own seasons of the wilderness and what feels like endless wandering and unanswered prayers. And, you know, it's really fascinating because in this process of writing One Prayer Away, the day after I shared publicly that I was writing a book and, you know, so excited to share with my online sisterhood that there would be a book soon, you know, my daughter, she just looked at me and she said, you know, I'm ready to give my life to God. Like, I'm ready. And so a few months later, she went through, we had her baptism here at our local church. And I was reminded that our seasons of growing as parents, children can grow along with us. And how beautiful and how vulnerable, but also how wonderful that is.
That is so true. I have just become acutely aware of my children watching how I respond to things. And then I think, okay, I need to steward this response to show them that I am dependent on the Lord, that I know that God is sovereign, that even when times are tough, that I still know where to find hope. And I don't always do it really well. And I think sometimes inviting them into that journey is really helpful. And, you know, Lauren, as a nurse, I'm picturing your 8-year-old self, just as you were describing, on your birthday, standing at the foot of your mom's bed and seeing this and knowing, you know, the faith journey that would come ahead. And then your children knowing that's part of your history, that's part of your journey, and still seeing you being faithful. I think that's really encouraging. That's just personally encouraging to me. And I know that we have listeners who are walking through really tough stuff. And if I'm honest, I feel like I have been in a very tough season myself. Just I lost both my grandparents in the last year, and they're really a lot like my own parents. And just it just has been one thing after another, one challenge after another. And I know that we have listeners out there who are saying, oh, but you can't possibly understand. Like, you don't know the depths of what I'm going through. And they're right. You're right. If you're listening, I don't know the depths of what you're going through, but I do know as a nurse, as a woman in my community, as a mom, that I've walked along families who have seen very, very trying times and very dark days. And I know that the only way to get through that and have any hope for healing is to be willing to start the journey. And Lauren, there are a lot of women who are just afraid to do that. They're just sitting in their pain and just thinking, okay, this is comfortable. This is, you know, familiar, and you just feel frozen for a time. And we're coming up against a break here, but when we come back, I want you to give some advice, to share some wisdom and encouragement to those women who are fearful to start their journey and open their hearts to God, because they may even think, you know what, God could have spared me from this pain, but he didn't. And just the simple concept of being one prayer away is a concept that I think we all need to hear, that we're one prayer away from help and healing. These are healing words to speak over your day and to speak over your life. And so let me give you a quote. I want your life, this is from Lauren, to be transformed through a closer walk with God, one that finally finally surrenders to Him the heavy things you hold in your heart. Much more to come when we come back. Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids. And when she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful, and Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, welcome back to my conversation with Lauren Fortenberry. She's a writer and a speaker, and she is the author of a new book that's coming out next week that would be a perfect gift for Mother's Day. It is called One Prayer Away: Healing Words to Speak Over Your Day. And I've got some great news for you, our listeners, because Lauren has graciously agreed to give away not one, not two, but three of these books. And so if you call in now to 888-589-8840, that's 888-589-8840, then you will have one of these books that you can either enjoy yourself or that you can give away to someone who you feel like God has put on your heart. So go ahead and call in, and we thank you, Lauren, for being so generous to give those books away. Now, Lauren, before the break, I was just asking some really important questions, and we're wandering through some tough territory for people who are going through some tough times. So what advice and encouragement do you have for those people who just think, I know I need to do something, but I'm just not ready to open my heart yet?
I'm so glad you asked. My prayer is that any woman who reads One Prayer Away, more than anything else, will take away one prayer can change everything, because it can change our hearts to look more like God's. And I was thinking the other day, if I could pare it down to three ways to encourage women, especially those who are kind of fearful to start this prayer journey, and to fully open their hearts to God with the vulnerability and the spiritual sense that requires, I came up with three things, and I love alliteration. So each of the three points starts with a T. So the first thing is turning to God. So any woman who is hoping to grow deeper in her walk with God, I encourage them to find a place to get quiet on the inside with God. Maybe you're around people much of the day, your children, your coworkers, your spouse, friends. I think it's important to find a place to get quiet with God where the things on the inside can find some calm. For me, as I referenced in my opening story back in 2018, I found my peace in our messy bedroom closet, where I could close the door and I felt like I could really turn to God. And then the second thing is, after we turn to God, I think in order to further our prayer relationship and our walk with the Lord, I think it involves taking it to God. So carrying our emotional baggage, our burdens, our stresses, our anxieties, and confessing and releasing those pieces that we're holding in our hands to the Lord. For myself, what began as this almost closet confessional, this time where I would go into my closet and read the Bible and pray. What I found was that once I did it a couple handfuls of times, I started praying in the car. I started praying in the checkout line. And really, prayer flowed into every part of my day. When I was in the regular practice of taking it to God, it suddenly transformed all of my moments, not just those in the morning in the closet. And then the third part I think is important in developing this prayer relationship is trusting it to God. So turning to God, taking it to God, and then trusting it to God. So in one prayer way, I refer to this as the after. So after you have learned how to position your heart to share with God about the things that keep you up at night, the things that kind of strangle your spirit, after you've learned that, it's about exploring in your day how you can follow God with the faith that says, God, I'm going to show up, and I know that you will bring the peace. I know that you will give me what I need to be fearless and faithful in you. And truly, this, I call it kind of a prayer cycle, when you're turning to God, taking it to God, and trusting it to God. Over time, your faith grows stronger every time you do that, in such a way where prayer touches every part of your life, and you find that you don't have to run to God anymore. You simply reach for Him.
Well, you know, I think those things are so important, and we on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show here, Lauren, we're working on 52 Habits for Healthy Parenting, where every week we introduce a new habit and talk about the concept of habit stacking, you know, putting these habits on top of each other and integrating them into your day rather than just being a new or something different or something more to add to your day. It just becomes exactly what you were describing, just part of your life. And habit number one, week one, was prayer. And it is so important, I think, for us to integrate that into our day, just integrate that into our lives, that, you know, just saying sentence prayers as we're driving along the road, as we're cooking dinner, and when we wake up in the morning, having an ongoing conversation with the Lord. And there was one thing you said, I think, that was really important, and I want to go back to it, because you said that you found solace, you found peace and meeting in your bedroom closet with God. But you said, Lauren, your messy bedroom closet, which I think is important, because, you know, we think of this prayer space and maybe it's supposed to have the perfect chair, and maybe we're supposed to be lighting candles and, you know, having some music playing, and it's supposed to be aesthetic and look, you know, something like Instagram. But you just go and plop yourself down on the dirty clothes that are on your floor, and God meets you there. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think most often when we need prayer most is when we're in the messy middle of life, whether it's the messy floor or whether it's the messy internal state of our lives.
And you talk in the book a lot about hustling. And so we're talking about being busy. I want to go to that, because honestly, you know, busyness is not a badge of honor. And we set an inhuman pace a lot of times for our lives, I think. And so you do talk about this in your book, about how society encourages and rewards that hustle hard mentality. But you say God cares more about your hurt than your hustle. Why is it essential to let God set our pace in life so that we have time even to sit on a pile of dirty laundry and say, okay, God, I need you?
Yes. And I agree, you know, busy is not a badge of honor. And I think in the, you know, the world is spinning fast and technology has only accelerated that. But what I love about following God is that He neither wants nor demands the hurry and hustle. He wants to know our hurts. He wants to help heal our hearts. And I think when we can learn to trust God, not just with our days, but also our hours and our minutes, really truly letting Him set the pace of our lives, I think that's when we will feel God most beside us as well as within us. Because truly, I believe that when we move at God's pace, that's when we access God's peace. I think about the verse Matthew 6:25, and, you know, it says, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. You know, is life nothing more than food and the body more than clothes? So many of the small, insignificant things can take up so much space in our heads, in our lives, in our hearts. And I think when we allow God to control our time and where we invest and where we give and where we pour our love, everything else gets taken care of. And we can spend our precious time, energy, and moments in the things that are most important in the light of eternity.
You know, I am really guilty of this. It really honestly hurts my heart a little bit, because I know when I'm out in my community or I'm talking to people, I hear this phrase over and over again. They'll ask me about something or for something, and then they say something that just, oh, it hurts me down to my toes. They say, I know you're really busy. And then I think, ugh, that's how I'm known, is I'm the busy one, that I am running around doing all of these things. And I know there are so many things that I'm doing that the Lord is calling me to do. But if I'm honest, there are other things that I don't need to do. And I feel like so many times God will give me signals. He will send people into my life. He will allow the natural circumstances, the natural consequences of my busyness to start to get the best of me. And I don't think that God ever, you know, punishes me by causing something bad to happen. But I think that He allows the natural consequences of that sometimes to happen, to say, Jessica, if you don't slow down, if you don't let me set the pace, if you're trying to keep out ahead, I'm going to get hurt. And I do feel that very deeply and very convicting, because I think, you know, when it's kind of like on Christmas, when you have little kids and you think so much about the toys that they want to play with, and then they're just really happy with the refrigerator box, you know, that's what I think. But our kids, to some extent, they don't lose that. And I feel like as parents, we feel a lot of pressure to keep up with, you know, whatever their peers are having, to make sure our kids are having similar experiences, that they're having similar opportunities, that they are, you know, having, I always say this, the matching PJ family picture, you know, that we're all going to the Christmas tree farm, that we're all, you know, going to do the sports and all of those things. And honestly, Lauren, I think that that comes from the pressure that we feel as families today to be perfect. Because we as adults, we criticize our kids a lot and teenagers for looking at social media, and we're kind of condescending about it too, right? We're like, oh, you don't get your image off social media. You know, while we're doing that, we are seeing these families that appear perfect. And I know you have some things to say specifically to women who feel burdened today by that weight of perfection.
And in my own way, I affirm so much of what you're saying. I have an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, a 10-year-old son and 8-year-old daughter. And my son, I think, is obsessed with bottle flipping. I think obsessed would be the right word. And, you know, and that's the influencer influence, if you will. And, you know, I think it's really important that you know, not just in our spiritual lives, but also in our parenting and in our interpersonal relationships, to ensure that we are not missing the other person. And in our faith journeys, we are not missing God. One of the things that I love about prayer is that it helps us stay present. It grounds us in where we are. And it's our acknowledgement that, Lord, you are in control. Help me to be obedient to where you are calling. And I think that in parenting, it's very similar in terms of when I am willing to have those conversations, when I'm willing to invest that time in my children, it has tangible, almost immediate benefits, right? Because you are affirming to your child, you are seen, you are known, you are loved. And I love the parallels in the relationship with God that we can take, and we can offer those things, not as the Lord of our children, but as guides along this journey, to encourage our children that, you know, they don't have to perform. They don't have to uphold a level of perfectionism, because we will fall short of that with the Lord, and He gives us grace. And when we can have those rich and open and honest relationships with our children, they know that they are a safe place and a stronghold. They have that in us as well. And we can model that which we get from the Lord, and we can extend that grace to our children. Because truly, there are plenty of times in my own life where I have had to stop to be present with my kids because I knew God was calling me to apologize. God was calling me to be transparent with my children. And I think that has been one of the most healing parts of parenting in a Christian home, is just showing our children that there will be times when you fall short, but God will lift you up and God will help you rise again. And I truly do believe that prayer helps us get back. It helps us get back on track, but it also helps us realign our hearts with the Lord.
Well, you just said two of my favorite words to put together in the history of ever. You just said, "but God," Lauren, and those are my favorite stories in the history of ever, because there are so many times I look back on my own life. I look back on so many, you know, lives of people that I've walked very closely with, and I think, "but God," you know, that is really our hope in all of this situation. And what you said reminded me so much of what I'm telling myself, what I'm telling my listeners, in that kids want our presence, like presence, much more than they want our presence, presents. And so many times that's what we invest in, is giving them material things, when really they want it to be like the refrigerator box. They just want us to sit down and play a game with them, or read a book with them, or go on a walk with them, and just have our undivided attention. And I think slowing down to be in God's pace is really important. And I heard this quote, I've used it often, and it reminded me when you said this, but every day, Lauren, is a gift to be opened with prayer. And I think if we think about that, it's a gift to have time with our children. They're not going to remember if we got them the latest sneakers or if they got to go to a certain event, but they are going to remember the way that we are in their lives. And when we come back, I want to continue talking about this issue of perfection. And I want to talk specifically about to the mamas who are taking pictures with their kids. Yep, I've got a message for you. And we'll talk more with Lauren about loneliness and just being one prayer away from a new life. We'll be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, welcome back. We are talking to Lauren Fortenberry. Her book comes out next week. It's a beautiful hardcover book with gorgeous illustrations. It would make a great Mother's Day gift. It's called One Prayer Away, Healing Words to Speak Over Your Day. And Lauren has graciously given three copies away to our listeners. So I want to congratulate Rose from Texas, Carmen from Texas, and Christina from Arkansas, who will be getting copies of that book. And Lauren, before the break, we were just talking about just the perfection that we feel. And one of the most common things that I see as a mom when I'm out and about at any kind of event where moms are with their kids and we're going to take pictures is, you know, the mom will hand their phone to somebody, and then all of a sudden, whoever's taking the picture, you're going to hear the mama saying, "Put the phone higher, put it up higher, angle it more, make it more flattering." And then they go immediately to look at the picture that's just been taken. And then they say, "Oh, no." And then they start to critique every bit of their appearance, or they'll hand the phone back and say, you know, my own daughter did this to me when I took a picture. I was so convicted because she handed it back to me and she said, oh, you won't like that picture. And I thought, why won't I like the picture? And she said, oh, I know you don't like that angle. And I thought, oh, that is horrible. I can't believe I've communicated to my daughter so much about my self-image and my, you know, my own prison of perfection that I have. And the thing is, mamas, I'm going to talk to you for just a minute here. When we say, I don't like the way I look in pictures, our daughters are thinking, well, that's wonderful because I look just like you. So am I ugly too? So I just feel like one of the things we can do, Lauren, is to be in the picture. Our kids need to see our imperfections. They don't see flabby arms. They don't see, you know, bellies. They don't see any other of our insecurities, crow's feet, wrinkles. They see us in their life. They see our arms wrapped around them in embrace. They see us looking at them with love in our eyes. They see us holding hands with our spouse. They see us playing. They see us being silly. They see the dimensions of our personality, and they see us present, just like you were talking about, in the moment. And most of all, they see a tangible record of us woven into the tapestry of their life's story, which I think is so important. And so this may be, and I bring this up because this may be one of the ways that perfection trap is manifesting itself in your life, that you are critiquing your own pictures. And so I'm determined, Lauren, I'm determined to conquer this and to get over it. And no matter how much I hate whatever angle or whatever way I think I'm looking, I am not going to say a word. And I'm just going to say, you know what? One day, this is so silly, but this is what I told my daughter. One day when I die, you will have pictures of me with you, and then, you know, won't look like I wasn't in your life when they have my funeral. I want to have that. But, you know, the truth is, Lauren, a lot of this comes from a place of pain, you know, for us. Like, we feel hurt by someone, we feel discouraged, and it can be hard because we can carry around some of those insecurities that are wrapped in unforgiveness. And in this book, you talk about praying for people who caused you pain, or praying for pain that you have. So what advice do you have? And I love this quote you have: loving your neighbor is not about you fixing their troubles. So talk to us about forgiving others when we're feeling hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to back up to one thing that you shared, this idea of this beautiful tapestry of our lives and how, you know, we are our views that we have of ourselves and our own self-worth and how much self-love we have for ourselves. It has ripples. We certainly encounter that when we experience, you know, hurtful words and metaphorical stones, so to speak, that are thrown our way. But we can also, you know, hurl those hurtful words at ourselves, mm-hmm. and we can be our own worst enemy. But I think, you know, self-examination, and I think really being honest in our prayer life with the Lord about those areas where we don't feel enough, and really trusting that we can continue to grow with God and become a little bit more of not living our best life, but we can become more of the best version of ourselves as we grow in our faith and as we follow after God. And I do think part of that is learning to give ourselves grace, but also giving grace to others. And I feel so strongly that, you know, our journey in faith is going to be filled with highs and lows and hills and valleys. And there will be times when we encounter other people who are not living, you know, in their best version of themselves as Christians. And I do think that when we can slow down and when we can pray for others, it helps us to take a step back. Because usually, just as you were alluding to in what you just shared, the pain that we so often experience that hurts us deeply, the heartache from others often comes from their wounds. And I think when we can slow down, take a step back, when we can pray for them,
it puts us, even for just a moment, in their shoes, in their perspective, in their world. And I think God can really use that, even if nothing else changes in our situation, in our relationship with them, tangible evidence of God working in their lives. We can have that peace of knowing that God is at work in us, and something on the inside of us through that prayer will look different, will point more to life, will be an encouragement in this world. And, you know, I think praying for someone else who has hurt us, who has disappointed us, who has discouraged us, I think we can release that to the Lord and trust that He is in control and that He is still leading us to the healthy and holy places. And that's the peace that can fill us when we pray for other people.
Well, you know, when we're hurt by other people, when we harbor unforgiveness, and when, you know, we feel bitter or we feel the pressure of perfection, a lot of times we retreat and we kind of isolate ourselves and we think, I don't know if I want to be fully known by people. But also we can perceive sometimes rejection that is not there, even though sometimes it can be real. But all of those things together, we are seeing a world that is really lonely, Lauren, a world that's digitally connected. I mean, at no point in time could I ever have imagined my life today having so much access to digital content. So if I'm at my house and I'm by myself, I can pull up anything on any streaming service. I can listen to a podcast. I can watch a movie from 1962 or even earlier. I can, you know, have all kinds of digital engagement. But it does not match the way that God created us to be in relationship with each other. And we see, even though there's this digital connection, there's a relationship disconnection. And, you know, with all of this time on our hands, it's not like, oh, well, we're having so much more time for Bible study and prayer and spiritual disciplines. I mean, it seems like that honestly has even gotten harder because we're so distracted by our phones and the pace of life. But we do have a lot of parents even who feel lonely, Lauren. They feel like, you know, maybe their friends are not in the same parenting stage that they are, or for whatever reason, they just feel lonely. So how do you help with that? How do you lean on God's strength and presence with one being one prayer away to make you feel less alone?
Well, as I shared with you, in 2018, when I was going through, I would say, my hardest season of life, I was surrounded by people, much in the way that we are surrounded by the endless chatter online and social media. I do believe that social media can be a tool used for good, mm-hmm. but you were commenting upon the community component, and I think having those rich in-person, trustworthy relationships, vibrant, affirming relationships, and Christian community is so important. But I think in that season, one of the things that I learned that I've taken with me as we have moved across the country, as we have, you know, as I've started new jobs and ended jobs, and the gift of that season that I take with me is God is always at work. And when you lay down at night and close your eyes, it's just you and God. And when you can fill your day with seeking God's wisdom, leaning on God's truth, I think it can help in the in-between, in the messy middle of life. When you are holding the broken pieces of relationships, of, you know, jobs that haven't gone the way you wanted them to, setbacks, maybe financially. I think the peace that we can have is that relationship that we have forged in prayer, so that when we don't feel like we are enough, when our hearts need to be reminded that we are known and we are loved, I think that prayer offers this
special protection in those seasons. And I do believe that, you know, again, God is always at work in our lives. And what I found is that having that close relationship with Him protects me until I have that relationship, that person, that friendship, that strong support in my life. God helps us through that messy middle to lead us into that faith-filled future where we have been led to the healthy and holy places where there is community and where we can be safe and growing in our faith. And I know that you give such encouragement every day to parents. And I think having other parents in community who are wrestling with the hard conversations and with the uncertainty of this new stage in development, I think that is so important. And
well, one of the things you
get there.
It does. I agree. And one of the things that you write about is the more you look for God, the more you will see Him. And I can imagine, Lauren, that it was hard to see God as an 8-year-old on her birthday. I'm sorry, I keep going back to that image. I just want to go back to that little girl and just, you know, talk to her and comfort her and reassure her. That's just the nurse in me. But I think about, you know, you seeing both of your parents experiencing cancer, and cancer is a really scary, difficult journey to walk. And it can be difficult to see God in that. So what do you hope that people will get from this book, One Prayer Away, Healing Words to Speak Over Your Day, to help them see God?
Well, I'll end with a little story. So I very much wanted to be able to be with my father in his final days, final hours. I was 12 hours away in Mississippi. My parents, I grew up in Virginia, and so they were 12 hours away. And when we got the call that there was a short amount of time left, and this was at the beginning of COVID, my father passed away just as the shutdowns were happening in March of 2020. I remember getting the call, and my mom shared with me that, you know, the hospice nurse thought my dad might have a few hours left, and if I left, I might be able to make it. And I remember driving to Virginia, and I prayed to have the right words at the right time to share, because I knew this was going to be very emotional and hard. And I was able to be with my dad and to read to him from Psalm 27. And this verse is actually the one that I end One Prayer Away with, and so I wanted to share it. It's Psalm 27, 13 through 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And my prayer is that One Prayer Away will help women to connect with God deeply, where they trust Him with every day to come in the future, because there will be hard times, there will be easier times, but God is good and God will use it all in the midst of everything we face. And I pray that comfort comes through with every word and prayer in my book.
Well, you know, Lauren, I just got goosebumps all over. My producer, Stephanie, is sitting here with me in my studio, and she can tell you, she can attest that I have that very psalm right there on a plaque on the top shelf of my bookshelf. And I've had it ever since I moved into this studio and have had this office. And I just say amen, amen, and amen. Well, you can find Lauren Fortenberry's book. It's One Prayer Away, Healing Words to Speak Over Your Day. And we are so grateful, Lauren, for your hope that you've shared with us. And you can find her on Instagram at Lauren Fortenberry Writes, or Facebook at Lauren Fortenberry Writer, or laurenfortenberry.com. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. And we will see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.